Okay, perfect. Letty, you have two people to work with. Okay. It's multitask.
Okay, Dr. Sparks has called the meeting to order. I'm going to take roll call. John Anderson?
Present.
Thank you. Brian Anderson?
Present.
Thank you. Willie Blake?
Present.
Thank you. Frank Flash?
Present.
Thank you. Nicole Fife?
Here.
Thank you. Kathy Kretschmer?
Here.
Thank you. Kendall Crozen? Could not make it. Jose Munoz? Could not make it. Krista Romero Cardenas?
Presente.
Gracias. And Dr. Spark?
Here.
Thank you. We do have quorum, Dr. Spark.
Thank you. I'm going to use the chair's permission to note that on November of last year, the Ward 1 commissioner resigned. And we have not gotten a replacement now for 7 months. And I think we need somehow to apply a little more application to Ward 1 to get some representation. I also will note that two of the major items on our agenda tonight have to do with Ward 1 projects. I feel like they need to be involved with that. Sorry for the editorial, but I can't pass on that. It's very important that they participate. Thank you. Approval of the minutes. Did you all have a chance to read the minutes? Any comments? They're really excellent. They really achieve exactly what occurred. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. We need an approval.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
I'll move to approve the minutes.
Second, please.
I can second the minutes.
Thank you. We need a roll call.
Yes.
John Anderson?
Rusty.
Approve.
Thank you. Ryan Anderson?
Yes.
Thank you. Willie Blake?
Yes.
Thank you. Frank Flash?
Yes.
Thank you. Nicole Fife?
Yes.
Thank you. Kathy Kretschmer?
Yes.
Thank you. Krista Romero Cardenas?
Yes.
Thank you. And Dr. Spark?
Aye.
Perfect. We did have a unanimous approval.
Thank you. Thank you all. Okay, I'm going to stop right now and reintroduce Jasmine. So let's, what's your recurrence here? I don't know, it's called or something.
Yeah, sure. Well, thank you all for having me back. I am now with the Parks and Recreation Department. I'm the administrator over the Capital Programs Office. So all of the PMs who have been working diligently to deliver Prop 407, among other parks and recreation facilities projects, those are all people who report to me, and I be here to help facilitate any updates that our team has for you all.
Thank you. Welcome you back. Somebody, Frank, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I just was. I'm asking this question out of ignorance. Who's the ward? Who is the Ward 1 committee man?
The council person is Lane Santa Cruz.
So, have you appealed to them to get a representative?
Yes, I. If you would take that initiative, I would be very pleased to do that. Any of you that do have a relationship with that ward office would be very helpful.
Okay. Can you give me the name again? I guess I can look up his or her contact information.
It's a her, and her name is Lane Santa Cruz. And if you send something in writing, I could do a little push verbally, because we have friends in common, so I could also push differently.
All right.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the commissioner's willingness to step forward to assist in this matter.
And Chairman Spark,
yes,
on the staff side, we'll also reach out again to the ward office
And what we've done with other boards and commissions that have vacancies that go on, if it doesn't get movement with the staff reaching out and with the commissioners reaching out, some boards then draft a letter to mayor and council to say the importance. So there are additional steps you can take should this not get
through. Okay. So can we give this to the end of July? And if we don't get a nomination, I'll take a motion to write a letter of concern to the board from the commission. If that,
Dr. White, before we do that, can I actually recommend something? I do know that it is summertime and a lot of families may be out on summer break. And the only reason I say that is I know maybe there might be different times for the ward office. And so I do think we should write them a letter, but I think giving them till the end of the month, being it's the 10th, that might not give them enough time. But maybe if we give them a whole month or at least till August when school starts coming in, that's just something I would recommend for the families and the parents. Because I do believe Lane has children. And also, Ms. Santa Cruz is a big advocate for cycling, bicycling, and improving roads. So I think with the work that's going on with Prop 411, I think if we target some of those topics, she will be very inclined to bring someone on board. Just a thought. Sorry, passing it back to you.
Your points are well taken. However, we're in a situation that's existed since November. And so I think we're not all getting any younger here. And it's time, I think, we need to take an initiative. So I make a sense of the other commissioners about potentially writing a letter at the end. If we do not have a nomination at the end of the month. Can I have a poll?
A clarification question, sorry. When is our next meeting after
October.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the ones, when they came on board, it took a while to get up to speed. And then
right.
Even reading these excellent minutes, trying to get up to speed. So it's very expeditious to get somebody in place to hit the ground running.
Okay, I'll pass it to the commission. Thank you.
I was just going to volunteer that I'm writing one of the 4 month staff people an email right now.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. All right, I think we belabored this, but 7 months, pretty far along in the pregnancy, and I'm hoping we'll have a live birth. Not premature, but a viable commission. All right, so now Erin Williams will give us, first, I'd just like to comment. I love that this is one page, so I think you can wrap our arms around this. Very nice.
Thank you, Chairman Spart, members of the commission. My goal is, it's front and back. My goal is to get it to one page in the very near future. I tried to whittle it down to the most pertinent information. I'll give you a rundown of where we're at with the financials and field any questions that you have after that. So you'll see, and I'll kind of go through the...
Excuse me, I'm sorry, Dr. Spart. I think you should get a call to the audience.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think there is an audience member.
Oh.
Henry Draco, I'm not sure if he would like to speak.
Mr. Draco, would you like to address the commission? You're on mute, sir.
You
want to
comment in the chat box too?
Sure. Can we send you a message?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's hold on for a minute here. I did see at least three notices of this meeting in different communication vehicles. Very pleased about that.
For the commission's benefit, Mr. Trio did send Letty an email requesting a copy of the agenda and how to log in. And we asked if he wanted to speak, and we had not heard back. So that's why we want to make sure we have it.
Okay. Completely. All right. Okay, we will go on. Let's record that we did make an attempt to
yes.
In case of a citizen. Thank you. Okay.
All right, Chairman, members of the Commission, I'll give a brief rundown of the format here and then field any questions you have. So in the top section, you'll see the bond status. As you know, we've issued the 2020 series, 2018A/2020 series for $57 million. The way I broke this down is our expenditures prior to current fiscal year and then current fiscal year by itself. And I'll continue with that format as we now go into fiscal year 24, which starts this month. You'll see that the $16 million that we spent in fiscal year 23, that increase from last time we met, so the last 3 months, that's an increase of $5.6 million since our last meeting. So the projects are picking up. Current encumbrances are at $12 million. And what I broke out on that second side is showing you the expenditures are the actual cash out the door. And then what you see there is the cash balance. So that's the funds that we still have in the bank to spend, $23 million. The encumbrances are our commitments to pay, our promises to pay on contracts and purchase orders. Taking that off of that $23 million, the available cash that's left is $11.2 million for additional spend and purchase orders that are upcoming.
Excuse me. This is Frank Flash. Is this going to be up on a chart we can see, or did...
I'm sorry. I thought it was in the agenda material, but we could pull it up.
Yeah, let's pull it up.
All right.
While we're pulling you up,
you have it.
Oh, sorry. See that, Frank?
Yeah, sure. Okay. No, I'm going to go ahead and share it right now. Okay, can you guys see this?
Yes.
Yes, we're with you.
Thank you.
Okay,
yes.
I'm a lay person and I'm a little puzzled. Cash balance and available cash. You said cash out the door. Please help me with that.
Sure. So the cash balance is basically the funds that are sitting in the bank account.
Okay.
Yeah, but then I wanted to show some of those funds that are in the bank account, we have commitments to pay. So sometimes it's useful to see then what's available in cash that we haven't committed. So that's the two different pieces, the cash that we still have, and then the cash that we have that's committed is taken out of that second number.
Thank you.
Yes. Then the what I wanted to start including on here until we get to the point where we actually go out to market for the new set of bonds is what we anticipate, because then that paints you the picture of here's the funds that will be coming in. At some point in the near future, in the next 6 months, that number will not be estimated. It will be what we actually go out to market for. When we get closer to that, then we can give details. Our finance and treasury division are monitoring the cash balances that we have, the market conditions, and then there's at least a once-a-month meeting to kind of figure out the strategy to make sure that we go to market for the right amount at the right time.
Just an additional question. So after this bond issuance in 2 years or whatever, there'll be a third to cover the $225 million.
Correct. There could be. So in the when this was originally designed, this we're kind of moving into phase one issuance was very closely related to your phase one bond issuance. Now, that doesn't necessarily have to be the case because the bond is for the whole amount and the project phases might or might not line up to the amounts we go out for bond. In the original design, the next two, so phase two of the bond projects, there were two bond issuances planned and then a last one at the end. So really, the initial design had up to four bond issuances. with three project phases. Depending on where the market's at, and because the pandemic kind of shifted all of that planning, that's why we might go for a smaller one, or we might go for one now and then one at the end. So it's kind of open to how many we go for.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, then program expenditures, you'll see in the next section, the changes from last time. Was there a question up there? Hard to see if the hands are raised with it on the screen share. We good? All right. On the second one, the second piece there, I'd like to point out, since last time we met, the increases on the program areas for parks, about 5.2 million increase from last time, the last 3 months. Golf, just a little bit, 15,000. Connectivity, 450,000 increase over the last couple months. And then Greenways, 15,000 increase. The percentages I put in the last column are compared against the total amount. To have a reference point, you'll see in the third box, we planned for 225 million over the term. The first issuance is about 24% of that total. So you would expect to see our current spend getting close to the 24%. So with our current actual spend and committed spend, we're about 20%. So we're pretty close to on target to where we wanted to be, even with the big delays that we had due to the environment.
I think that was Frank Fritsch's question a couple of meetings ago.
Yeah, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and then the bond spend status, I wanted to include down there just so that you know that we're tracking it both on the whole program, but then also based on the one issuance that we have and the benchmarks that we have to meet. So as we've mentioned in a lot of the previous meetings, we need to be at 85% by the time we get to next month. We're getting close, but again, like I spoke about in the previous meetings, we do have our Treasury Department and Finance Department closely monitoring. If we're not at that 85%, then we're going to make sure that we pull the funds out of interest bearing so that we don't bump into bond arbitrage commitments.
So we do have some flexibility if we don't hit that 85%.
Correct. Yes.
Will you notice the commission when you have to do that, whatever yes. the outcome is? Is it the end of August?
I think it's like 3 weeks into August.
Okay. Please notice. Let's notice the commission so we know what happens.
Yes, sir. All right. Then on the back page or on page 2 of the screen share, completed projects. I wanted to make sure that we kept that in so that you can have some level of comfort with the projects actually being completed. So since we met last time, even though we spent a bunch of money, you know, we don't kind of complete it until it's actually completed. So we have a 4.8 million that actually completed compared to the last time we met. So these phase one projects are getting completed just as we would like.
Quick question. Cardenas here. Thank you for this. I always think they're really clear. Thank you for the breakdown. I don't know if it's possible to also include on these, just as you mentioned right now, from the previous project, you know, on some reports, it's just like a quick little paragraph excerpt explaining from the previous. That way, if it doesn't show, it just is a quick reminder on how much was spent from the last time. I don't know if there's any way to put that in there. That's one. And then two, a quick question on the greenways. You know me, I'm gonna have to go there. So based on the allocation, what are the milestones, like what are we waiting for the completion of the expenditure for greenways for phase one?
Commission member, the great comment on the add the narrative. I think I can work that in into a quick blurb on the actual report on change from last time we met. As to the status of the actual projects on the greenways, I think the department staff is going to, the project managers are going to go over it when they get to their piece there.
Okay. I'll wait. I'll hold my question. Thank you.
Thank you.
So
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Yeah, Nicole Fife. I was just, and this may be more of a project question, but well, one, when was it anticipated that phase one would be complete? Like what date? And then can we get a list of projects that we anticipate will go beyond that original phase one end date?
Yes, Commissioner, great question. I think it is covered in the project level updates. Parks, for example, they have a very detailed update of every one of their projects by phase. Project manager side, I think that's kind of what they track.
And it's also in the ward, it's also broken down by ward.
Correct.
You can go to the specific park and look where the project is, the status of it. Not only if, whether it's a design or estimated construction with some kind of things, or they're looking for additional funding or what. So,
project. Chair.
Yes.
So just adding to what Nicole Fife was mentioning, so that's what I was looking at too, because I thought, you know, it's a good question, where since there's so many projects and some get moved up, you know, for the reasons of approval and expenditures, a lot of them actually, so when you're looking at it, it actually says phase one and two projects, and it extends from 2021 through 2025. So I think going back to your question and, hey, what needs to be spent by mid-August, right? So how do we either help support those projects that need to be pushed, or what needs to get done. Because on these, yeah, I know the project managers do report out, but the way it's set up, it's not very clear. Or maybe, and if I'm not understanding it, please tell me so I could understand it better. Thank you.
Good point.
I can speak to it, Commissioner, Chair, members of the Commission. Yes, that's it's something that's also, it's a little bit unclear because they use the term phase on multiple things. So on the commitment of the spending of the bond funds, that is the money that we actually went out and received. That has benchmarks that have to be met outside of what phases we actually spend the money on. So the project managers, they're kind of managing the plan of those three phases of projects under this $225 million complete project. And that's where the commission makes approvals of moving things from project phase one to two, or two to three, or three to one, or whichever. What I'm monitoring on the financial side is our commitment on the funds that we receive. The funds we receive, it doesn't matter which project phase we spend it on. We want to make sure that $55 million, that starts the ticker on when we need to spend the money, as long as it meets the criteria of the complete program. Same thing when we go out for our next bond issuance, then that will start a timer on those bond funds. Should we spend them on phase two projects or phase three, the bond funds have their own clock on them outside of the project phases.
In other words, it doesn't matter what we spend it on as long as we spend it.
And as long as it's eligible, correct?
Right.
Okay, very good discussion. And I think we're fine-tuning the presentation. You thinned it out, so now we have to fatten it up
a little bit.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, sorry, last question on this. So I'm scrolling through, and if you scroll to, let's use Ward 1 as an example, if you scroll to the bottom, it does have a really good, like, brief explanation of the completed projects. It doesn't say, like, which, doesn't know, I don't know if this is important, if it has to relate to which phase it's at. The only question I would pose to the commission, and it's not really a question, it's more of like to keep in mind. I recall in our first meetings that we started sitting together for this bond oversight committee, and we wanted to ensure that each ward, even though some projects were being moved before or behind based on the conglomerate of projects in that location, we wanted to ensure that the money was used. Like there was, we didn't overextend for one ward or one location. And we want to make sure that it's still equally across all the wards and all across Tucson. So I don't, and I mentioned that now because we're asking to see what the completed projects are, and we'll have to look it up by ward is what it looks like. And I think what we mentioned on the money wise is, no, I think you guys already said it. We have to spend it on a certain due date, but still interested in how it relates to each ward. So I'll look into that on my end. I think I just need a refresh. It's been a couple of weeks since I've looked at this. Thank you.
Okay. So if I understand your comment, it'd be nice to have a breakdown for the commission of how the monies per each ward is or receiving project or completing projects to ensure there's some sense of balance between the wards. So some ward will not feel like they are not being ministered to appropriately. That's the sense of what you said, I think.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Spark.
Yeah. No, I think that's politically a good idea.
I agree with wanting to know, but it's going to be interesting because there are a lot of funds in here. The parks have done a great job of reaching out to federal and state funds that don't play in the bond issuance at all. So we just have to make sure that's not in there too, so that it doesn't skew.
Right. Yes. What Aaron is reporting though is specifically the portion of 407. And then in regards to the equity across the ward, I just want to remind that on the Tucson Delivers website, it does call out specifically what's in phase one, phase two, phase three, right?
Right.
And
yes.
There was intention to try and equally distribute, but where some of that may get off balance a little bit is those emergency situations like today. I know we're approving a few because the condition of the site requires us to move it up. But I know we are trying to be really mindful about that and make sure that we are triggering projects appropriately and distributed out, and also according to the project manager capacities.
Yeah, I think those are excellent points. And sometimes we'll run into a problem like the soccer field drainage issue was totally unexpected. And so there are certain things that will kind of skew things on it, which nobody could have anticipated. But I think let's go back to if we can get something that looks like showing that some equity between the wards, as far as how you can do that. It has not to do with the number of projects, but I think that expenditures, because dollars, I think, are the most graspable figure that would make sense to the public. Right?
I agree, Chairman Spark, members of the commission. On the project level updates is where you're going to see, that's probably what they're looking at.
Yeah.
So maybe add in a total. I think that might be the one piece that's missing.
Yeah, I think that was mentioned. Yeah.
Or a summary sheet that has all of the words broken out.
Yeah. So if it was in the dollars, like how many of the projects completed, what was the dollar amount spent? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good discussion. Good points. Well taken. All right.
Bend it.
Now, do we need to do a roll call on this financials?
No.
We're not financially responsible.
No. It is what it is.
All right. Okay, Jasmine, you're up for it.
All right. Well, on the subject of board updates, if you have them all, are there any questions on those aside from what already raised? Otherwise, I'll go into the board ball. So in early June, we opened up CSM Martin Jenny Perez Memorial Park. So that is now, the splash pad is now open. The fields are getting prepared and they'll be ready to go this fall for use. I'm very excited about that. We have many projects that are coming out of permitting, which means that we are able to go into the bid process and get those under construction. So we should start seeing that expenditure rate go up over here on our end shortly, as well as coordination with our parks operations side to make sure that we're still able to have enough fields and parks open for people to be able to use them. Progress continues with Joaquin Arrieta Park. We just submitted that for permitting. We're watching that closely to make sure that goes through smoothly and we get all of our
plans. What's the delay with permitting these days?
delayed meetings, timelines?
Timelines, right. That's was a major concern.
Yes.
Last couple commission meetings.
Yeah, I don't have an exact estimate of how much time to expect out of large things like working together. We are working closely with Planning Development Services Department to ensure that the 407 projects are prioritized and understood for what they are and what they're trying to achieve. And then, and then to Krista, your question about greenways, we do have a couple of projects of greenways on the park side that are on hold pending kind of other activities and changes happening. So one of which is related to Reed Park and making sure that all of that is squared away. So there's kind of some of that money that you see there, that's phase one, greenways that hasn't been spent yet, is related to things that are in motion but not yet ready to go into design.
Question, Chair?
Yes.
Chairman? Thank you for that response. I think we were also waiting, if I recall correctly, there was a potential collaboration with an external partner for Graywater. Or am I remembering incorrectly? I don't know if that had an effect on what we were going to be completing regarding greenways.
I know we're doing a lot of green stormwater infrastructure as part of our projects. I don't know one specific to Graywater off the top of my head.
I'll look at the notes because I remember it was in a previous meeting that there was someone that was coming in and doing analysis. And I'll look into that. Thank you.
I do know that we did have some conversation with the folks that are kind of kicking off the climate action plan and exploring the opportunities where, say, you could capture the condensation from an AC unit, but those initial conversations haven't manifested into any official projects yet. And maybe that could be one of the ones we were doing as an update.
Thank you. If I'll look into it, and if I have a more clear question, I'll let you know. Yeah, thank you. Apologies.
Okay, I have a question. So, Warren Johnny Barraza's memorial, there were, at the dedication, there were mentioned that there were additional constructions that needed to be completed to complete the total plan. And is that going to extend the timeline considerably, or is that going to be completed by the fall?
So I think the rest of the active work is happening today and tomorrow. So they're putting in the new space for the fields, and then it's establishing those fields, that green space, and then in the fall it will be open for games.
Yeah, so the only delay is that we're in the growing season right now for grass. So we have to allow that those fields to fully grow in before we open them up for people to use. If we did it too premature, then it would just tear it up and it wouldn't look good. So that was really the only aspect of the project that didn't open on the day of was the fields.
I remember discussing the Menlo Park soccer field, I mean, maybe a year or so ago. And I noticed that only allocated like $250,000 for it, and the estimates came in 1.15 or to 1.64. How do we tackle that? It's a terrible shortfall.
It's not, I would like to say that that's uncommon, but that's something that we've been working through on a lot of projects, and so that's where we're pursuing matching dollars. The Menlo soccer one, I don't recall specifically discussing matching dollars to that one just yet. We've submitted for Joaquin Marietta, for Jacobs, Barrio Nepal, I believe, was just submitted for Tohono O'odham grants, so the projects that are designed and either are in permitting or expected to come out of permitting are the ones that we pursue the matching dollars for first. So I don't think the Menlo Park one is designed yet.
No, part of that consideration is how do we address the sinkhole.
Right.
So that hasn't been
discussed. It has to be a mitigation of the landfill underneath.
Correct. That's your problem. Right? Thanks for reminding me, Desmond. Yeah, that one is, that's what's driving up the cost there.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, that's pretty sobering up when I looked at that. Okay, more? Desmond?
That is all for me.
Thank you for the report and thank you for the discussion. All right.
Hi. Sorry, I had a little trouble with my audio there. Is it my turn now?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, go ahead. I'm still waiting to load up the presentation on my end, so go ahead, Ryan.
Okay, hang on just one second as I get my presentation. As I get to share my screen.
Just a comment is when you're coming up, I happen to be on the Michigan Avenue segment of the bikeways. It's beautifully designed. Its safety features are excellent. I'm really very impressed with the finished product.
Thanks for that feedback.
Thank you. That's great to hear. All right, I think I have my screen sorted out here. Okay, y'all see that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so I'll just jump right into it. So for remaining phase 1A projects, the Roger Road Pedestrian Safety and Walkability Project, we're still working through some real estate work, including negotiations on some easements that are required for construction of the project. We are also working with Pima County. So as you may recall, this project actually is on the border with Pima County, and it actually is partly in Pima County right-of-way. One of the elements that we included in the project based on feedback from the community was a couple of speed humps on the frontage road along the project. You can see one of those frontage roads here in this rendering. It turns out that the county is actually requiring us to go through their neighborhood traffic management program process in order to get approval to put in those speed humps. So far, we've gotten several yes answers. We're hoping that it will be positive and we'll be able to proceed with those speed humps. And those were added in response to concerns about cut through traffic at the corner of Fairview and Roger. And then we're still anticipating the project to be bid this fall with construction starting early next year. Marianne Cleveland Way, Shared Use Path. May recall we have, I'm skipping to the bottom here. So we're currently working on getting environmental clearance work done. We are also hoping that this project will go out to bid in the fall with construction also starting around the same time as Roger early next year. The reason for the delay on this project has been added work resulting from the federal funding that it received. That's primarily the environmental clearance work that we're doing. So as soon as that is finished, we will get the project bid, and we're hoping to get that underway soon. So the Limberlost Bicycle Boulevard, that is another remaining phase one project. That project's been kind of in a weird limbo for a while because it's in Prop 407, it was a very small project and kind of an unusual one. It was only funded at $98,000, and it covers 1 mile, including half a mile within the county. You can see that here. So what we're doing actually is we're combining this into one design and construction contract with some Prop 411 funded improvements that are going in. So on Prop 407 funded improvements, at least from Flowing Wells to Fairview, that'll be more typical bike boulevard improvements. We're hoping to include some speed humps, perhaps a traffic circle, that's also going to be contingent on the Pima County neighborhood traffic management program process, similar to Roger. They don't have a process for these kinds of improvements on neighborhood streets like we do for bicycle boulevards. So we're having to go through that. So we are hoping we'll be able to include this traffic calming, but it is going to be contingent on approval from the neighbors in this unincorporated county section. And then east of Fairview, we're primarily going to be prepped for 11 funded improvements. We are going to have bicycle lanes added. So the Complete Streets Coordinating Council has approved improvements from Fairview Avenue to Stone. You can see that here in the dashed green line. That will include pavement improvements, lighting, completing sidewalks and curb ramps. We are asking them for approval to extend that from Stone to First, and are we'll have a decision on that at the CSCC meeting at the end of this month. So we're hoping that they will approve that, and we'll be able to get that underway soon. And so this will be sort of one large project that will include bikeway improvements and other improvements all the way from Flowing Wells Road to First Avenue. One thing that's of note, it's not really 407 related, but it is, I think, worth mentioning, is that this project will also include an analysis of feasibility of a road diet that would go from Fairview to First Avenue, and that would look at reducing the number of vehicle lanes in order to provide protected bike lanes. So assuming that that is feasible and we're able to do that, we'll have about 2 miles here of low stress, all ages and abilities bike facilities. So I think that's pretty exciting, and I'm glad we're going to be able to.
Ryan, what is CSCC? I know of a physician in alphabet soup, that one escapes me.
Sure, that's the Complete Streets Coordinating Council. Sorry, I mentioned it, but I didn't. I should have spelled it out on here. So that's the Complete Streets Coordinating Council of the city. So, among other things, they approve the funding and scopes for Prop 411 safety improvements. Right. So that would include the sidewalks, lighting, bikeway, and other improvements.
Okay. The other question: could you inform us a little bit on the Pima Council, Pima County NTFP process, as far as what are we dealing with? Is it an individual? Is it a department? Is it is there some kind of timeline that we might expect?
Yeah. So it's a little it's very similar to the city has a very similar process where if a neighborhood is requesting improvements like a speed hump or a traffic circle or chicanes or, you know, a street closure to limit cut through traffic, things like that. There's a process that they go through where they request it, the city reviews it, and then they have to get approval from, I think, 60% of property owners that are affected by those improvements. So the county has a very similar process to the city in that case. Normally it's initiated by the neighborhood. They don't really have projects of the type that we're doing. They don't have bicycle boulevard projects that have these types of improvements on neighborhood streets that are initiated by, you know, the governmental entity. So what we have to do is we have to go through that process. So once we identify the proposed traffic calming that's needed for that area or that is desirable, we will then send out letters to the property owners explaining the project, explaining what's proposed, and asking for their approval of those improvements. So 60% of the residents affected by any individual traffic calming element will need to approve in order for us to include them in the county section.
Is that the county doing that or the city or combined?
We'll be working with the county, but we'll be initiating that. So what we're doing on Roger, we sent out letters. We're kind of handling that process. Okay. We're kind of taking the role of you know, say if a neighborhood were initiating it, we're kind of doing that work. And then, you know, depending on whether it's approved or not approved, we'll go to the county and we'll let them know how it turned out, and we'll work with them on the design going forward.
Thank you.
I know, Kristen, I was wondering, do you just send out the letters, or do you do the neighborhood meetings also?
So That's a great question. You know, we are going to be doing outreach on the project, so neighborhood outreach will be a part of that. And I think, I think that's a great point. We will want to get, an audience with the neighborhood where we can and discuss it with them as well. But ultimately, it's going to be up to the individual property owners on any given street that's affected by these improvements. We'll send up those letters. If we don't hear back from some property owners, we'll go knock on doors. You know, we'll do our best to get approval of these improvements, and we will move forward with whatever we're able to.
Thank you. Okay.
So we've got a design consultant who's working on a scope and fee proposal. We are hoping to get approval for the extension from Stone to First for the 411 improvements later this month. Once that happens, we will we'll get the project underway and start design of both the 407 and the 411 funded improvements. Next up, we have the Andrew Street Bicycle Boulevard. That project has had some minor delays, but we are expecting to have 90% plans in October. And we have been working with the Storm to Shade folks in order to include green stormwater infrastructure improvements on that project. So the 90% plans that we're expecting this fall will be showing those. And there's some really cool stuff that we're excited to have as part of that project.
Recurring question. I know you're tired of my saying this, but shouldn't you ask the associated residents or the community if they're really happy with that name for the Bicycle Boulevard? Because so much of it's not really Andrew Street.
Yeah, I mean that's a good question. No, we didn't hear any comments from the outreach with any, anybody had any issues with the name of the project. Bike boulevards that can be a little challenging to name, as far as this is a kind of an extreme case. But some of them, like Blackledge, is a great example. That's the same street name the whole way through. It's a straight shot. Whereas Andrew Street has lots of different turns. I believe it's on 13 or 14 different named streets. There's not really an obvious name, that kind of jumps out, other than this one, because it's unique. The other streets that it follows are mainly 26th Street, 27th Street. But the problem with naming it after those is that there are other sections on, adjacent streets to those. And so to avoid confusion, Andrew Street is wherever an Andrew Street exists, the project is on it. And then east and west of that, it's on streets like 26th and 27th Street. So, we haven't heard any concerns from the community about the name, I guess. So we were not planning to, look at alternatives to the name, I guess.
Okay.
So the next project, the 6th Avenue Protected Bike Lane. That project has kind of been on hold for a little bit. So we've been sort of reviewing the project scope. Just want to review the original project description. You can see on the right here, this is the conceptual rendering that was included on the Prop 407 project fact sheet, and as a general rendering for protected bike lanes in Prop 407. This is meant to be very conceptual, but it illustrates the basic configuration, which is bikes closest to the existing curb, then parking, then vehicle lanes. So the original project description here is a new curb separated protected bike lane that runs adjacent to 6th Avenue from Speedway Boulevard to 7th Street, providing a safer bike route to multiple parks, stores, and neighborhoods. We did get some input from some residents who live in the area, had some concerns relating to loss of parking and a few other things. We're going to be working with them to incorporate their input as best as we can on this project. We had looked at some alternative layouts, but ultimately, based on sort of our commitment to deliver the project as promised, and also based on guidance as far as the most appropriate bike facility for these conditions, we have landed back on this sort of original configuration. You can see a sort of a different view of this. This just shows one side of the street, but you can kind of see it more clearly what the configuration is going to look like. And then just one thing to note, on the south end of the project, around about 6th Street, and actually a little bit north of there, all the way to 7th Street, there are drainage issues that prevent us from including raised curb in that section. So we're going to be looking at some options that may include sort of an enhanced buffered bike lane design. So we'll keep you informed on that, and as with all these projects, we'll let you know when we're doing outreach. We expect to be doing that in the fall when we have 30% plans. And then next, on the phase two projects, the 5th Street, 6th Street pedestrian safety walkability project is moving along. We are expecting 60% plans either late August or early September. I think to be safe, I'm saying September here. We're also tentatively planning once we, once we have those plans and once we have a timeline for that, we will be planning some more public engagement on that project. So we'll be doing some more open houses just to show off the plans and get input on those. And we are still aiming for plans to be completed around middle of next year and construction to start sometime in 2024.
Does the plans include lighting along that stretch or not?
Yes, the plans do include continuous street lighting. So right now there are historic street lights on 6th Street from Campbell to Tucson. Those are those sort of small pedestrian scale lights. From Tucson to Country Club, there are currently full-size street lights, very similar to what you see on most major streets in Tucson that have lighting. So what we're going to do is, the plan is to add similar types of streetlights from Campbell to Tucson and from Country Club to Alvernon in order to provide continuous street lighting. And, the reason for that is it's what was promised to the voters. There are documented safety benefits to these improvements. So that's the plan for the lighting.
Thank you.
Something went wrong with my animations. I apologize. The El Paso and Southwestern Greenway on the north end, from University to Cushing Street, we are still working on exactly what that's going to look like. Previously, I had indicated that we would be doing design all the way from University to Cushing Street all at once. There are some design considerations that we need to think about between University and St. Mary's. Basically, there are a few alignments that are, potential alignments that are shown in the project master plan. There's also a different alignment that I think was intended to be conceptual that was shown in the Prop 407 materials, including the map of all the projects. So one way or another, we will need to figure out an alignment and go through the process of getting that alignment approved pursuant to the project change process that we have for Prop 407 projects. That's going to include neighborhood outreach and a number of other things. So once that's done, we can proceed on design from University St. Mary's. In the meantime, we are going to be starting on design from St. Mary's to Cushing much sooner than that. There are a couple reasons for that, but the main one is that we may be making use of some money from the American Rescue Plan. And there is a deadline essentially to use that. So we want to make sure that we're getting design underway so that we are ready for construction and can make use of those funds before those go away. So when we figure out the alignment of the north end from University of St. Mary's, we will then get design underway then.
How do you cross the railroad tracks?
That is an excellent question. That is kind of the crux of the issue. The master plan showed it showed sort of, I think, three different options for crossing the railroad tracks, and one of them involved going along the railroad alignment, the old railroad alignment that goes through Barrio Anita, and then having a bridge that goes over the railroad tracks. That bridge is not budgeted in the Prop 407 improvements. You know, that's something that potentially either a bridge or an underpass or something potentially could be built in the future. It's not going to be built at this time as part of this project, unfortunately. We are going to explore the possibility of doing at-grade crossing at that same location, although our understanding is that Union Pacific is not favorable to that sort of thing, and they ultimately have the final decision on pretty much anything that crosses their right-of-way. So we'll be looking at options that include an on-street option through Barrio Anita that may include a path that would run along Main Avenue, may cross, actually there's an option that may cross Main Avenue, and then would take Fifth Street and would cross the railroad tracks there. Lots to think about, and you know, when we're doing outreach on all this, I'll keep you all informed and then let you know what's going on with that.
What's your potential timeline? Is it looking at phase three actually now?
I don't think so. You know, so what we're doing to start is we're going to be meeting with Barrio Anita residents. We're going to be, you know, just listening to them and sort of what their thoughts and concerns and ideas are for the project going through that area. You know, as best as we can, you know, with the funding we have within the scope of the project and Prop 407, we'll accommodate those. You know, we're going to be working with Union Pacific. You know, there's a lot of considerations here, but I don't want to commit to a timeline as far as determining that alignment. You know, we still have some time to stay within phase two for this project. So I'm hopeful by the end of the year, we know what we're doing from university to St. Mary's, and we can move forward on design. And you know, if that gets figured out soon enough, we can just add that on to the design scope for this entire segment. If it's kind of too far out, then we may break it out and have it be a separate project.
Thank you.
Thanks. That's all I got. Any additional questions?
We certainly challenge you for the next October meeting.
I think there's a lot happening, a lot of projects getting going, and having stuff going on in the next few months. So it's going to be interesting.
Great job, Brian. Thanks for that report.
Thank you.
Yeah, I echo that. Excellent work. Good problem solving. Looking forward to the next update. Good job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Colin, do you have a presentation as well? Or?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's already pulled up. Thank you. Thank you. The first project is the Black Ledge Bicycle Boulevard. This is one, actually, let me move this down here. So that, let's see. So this is one that we're expecting 100% plants at the end of July. This one, as you know, there were some delays associated with some of the green stormwater infrastructure. One neighborhood in particular really wanted to see more green stormwater infrastructure. So we kind of went back to the drawing board to get more of that integrated. I was really pleased the design consultant and our project team kind of strategized, and we did some creative problem solving. We were able to incorporate 9 additional green stormwater harvesting basins.
Wow.
And they're chicanes, so they're kind of integrated into the traffic calming by Boulevard. So I think that was a big win. We presented that to the neighborhood. They were very happy with it. So it's kind of full steam ahead to get those plans finalized, because this is one we are behind schedule. Oh, and I put this little, so you all are used to seeing the Tucson Delivers Strong Connections and Great Parks. This is our new one, Prop 411. This is just a Department of Transportation and Mobility initiative, but this is our Safe Streets program. So this is associated with Prop 411. Ryan was mentioning that, but I know there's interest from the commission in hearing more about the supplemental funding sources that we're bringing to the table to kind of fill some of these shortfalls. And this is one of the funding sources.
My eyes kind of fail me. What's in the gray zone? What are the icons?
Oh, yeah, it's kind of small, isn't it? So there's a bicyclist and a pedestrian and a car. So it's intended to be a multimodal Safe Streets program. And so the reason I have that included on this one is because we've also had a lot of questions about the pavement quality of these bicycle boulevards. I know that many of the commission members have asked that question. Is this going to get resurfaced when we get the Bike Boulevard in? You know, up until we got this Proposition 411 funding, we said, yes, but we don't know how we're going to pay for it. And so now we finally have this funding source. And so I'm happy to report that for this Bicycle Boulevard, the resurfacing process is complete. So they went out and they milled, they resurfaced, and we're trying to do that in advance of all of the Bicycle Boulevard improvements going. 18th Street, 8th Avenue, and South Campbell-Pinal Bicycle Boulevards. This is one that has these three corridors. In my updates previously, I haven't been including these maps, but I think we have so many projects going on in so many different locations that I'm just trying to put these in as a refresher for everybody. It's these three different corridors. This one, I think you'll recall, at 18th and Main, 18th Street and Main Avenue, we had these concepts for large curb extensions and green stormwater infrastructure. That was part of another project that, where there's resurfacing happening on Main Avenue. So there's been a lot of coordination with that. We also had on Fairland Street Avenue a situation where the pavement wasn't wide enough to accommodate the bike facility that we wanted. So we had to get a contract amendment for that. That created some additional delays. But now we're finally, you know, kind of on a contract to get this wrapped up as well. It's kind of similar to Blackwood. So 90% plans open for the end of the month, and then 100% plans in September. This is a different portion of the El Paso and Southwestern Greenway than Ryan was talking about, and there's actually kind of two segments within it. If you remember, we did an alignment study for this portion that's shown in the dashed blue. This is the one where it originally was going to go on the south side of 36th Street and go down Forges Avenue, but when we really looked at it in more detail and talked to the community, we realized it was really better to put it along South Campbell. So that portion is almost complete with design. We have 100% plans expected next week. The portion that we just kicked off is here in solid green, and that's from 6th Avenue to Keno. There's a portion here between Park and Keno where the path, the concrete path, or actually it's asphalt, I believe, has already been constructed. But as part of the scope in Prop 407, we're including landscaping, lighting. So we're going to be improving that existing path. And then from Park west to 6th Avenue to this existing section shown here in dashed green, that does not exist. And that is a joint project with the City of South Tucson and City of Tucson. So good opportunity there for, you know, multiple jurisdictions to collaborate on a project. We wanted to make sure that we were bringing it to the table and that we were designing it all together at the same time, which is why we did not design it at the time that we designed this blue section. So there's a lot of complicated stuff with this one that I won't go into, but it's interesting and exciting. And very cool to see that we're going to have a continuous segment of the Greenway from downtown, basically all the way down to the Keno Environmental Restoration Project shortly.
Is that a park down there at the end?
Yeah, this is the Keno Environmental Restoration Project.
Oh, okay.
And so there's a couple parks here. We held a couple outreach events.
What's it?
James Thomas.
James Thomas. Yeah.
And then there's a Keno County Park also down here. It's not shown here, but there's a path, an existing paved path that connects all the way around this park, also connects east and south to the regional loop system. So we're going to have a loop connection all the way to downtown, which is pretty cool.
Hey, Colin, this is Ryan. That's really cool. I'm looking at the portion where the completed trail meets up with South 6th Avenue. You can cruise down that to connect to the loop, right? The one that goes up and connects with Santa Cruz?
Oh, are you talking about the Julian Wash Greenway?
Yes.
Yeah, so that, and actually I'll go up another slide. So it kind of intersects too with this Bicycle Boulevard project. So here you can see the loop is shown in orange.
That's what I'm thinking of. That's exactly what I'm, yeah.
Yeah, so that goes here, and then it's not really shown prominently on this map, but this is 36th Street is here, if you can see my cursor.
So yes, I can.
Yeah, so you can see how close it comes, and then, you know, that'll actually connect with, you know, this as well. So, there's a lot going on in this part of town, and so it's very cool to see how everything's all connected.
Rad. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
36th Street Pedestrian Safety and Walkability Project. This is improvements to pedestrian infrastructure, lighting, landscaping, continuous sidewalks on the north side of 36th Street because the El Paso and Southwestern Greenway is on the south side of the street for most of this. In other cases, we are pursuing some additional ARPA funding, which is a federal grant to try to get sidewalks on the south side of the street as well, because the Prop 47 project side of the street, and we really want pedestrian infrastructure on the south side too. This is one where we've completed our initial concept and we're expecting 60% plans by the end of the year. Just as a reminder, and I put this Tucson Delivered Safe Streets logo here because this is the one with the roundabout. And we did receive official approval from the Fleet Streets Coordinating Council with Ryan Vision in his presentation to start the design for this roundabout. Menlo Park, Golden Hills, and El Rio Dragoon Bicycle Boulevards. This is this package of three bicycle boulevards on the west side of town. We have 30% plans expected this fall. We had a really great series of public engagement events. One of them was with the Barrio Hollywood Neighborhood Association, and they made pizzas in this outdoor pizza oven, and I had a pizza that had Choya buns on it. I love it when we get really useful feedback from the public. And, you know, a lot of times we do, sometimes we don't, but a lot of times we do. And in this case, there was a group of folks that really wanted us to explore a different alignment. And some of them were members of the bike club. It's an after-school bike club at Manzo Elementary School. They came to our meeting and they said, hey, you should really think about this. We explored multiple different alignments with our consultant team. So, you know, city staff, consultant design team that's an expert in bicycle pedestrian facility planning and design. They came up with some alternatives that they thought we should take a look at. We brought that to the public and they said, yeah, we like some of these, but also what we really want is we want it to go down this street, which connects directly to the school. It would be a more direct connection.
Well, what's the name of that street? I can't read that. Cuesta.
Cuesta.
The name out.
Close to it. So A Mount's down here.
Yeah, but it's like 10th Street.
Yeah. So anyway, it was just really cool to see that the outcome of this was the community brought this to us. We looked at it and we said, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. This is a good idea. And so that's now the alignment that we're proceeding with, which wasn't one that we considered previously. So I consider that a win for our public engagement efforts. This map, I know it's hard to read. This is a draft for what we hope to bring to the public for the next round. Just so that they can see the results of, you know, the analysis that we did. There's these little bubbles that have numbers in them, which you can't see very well here, but it's showing the number of people who voted for a specific alignment at these different events that we held. And then the other really cool story that came out of this is we have, through our Safe Streets initiative, a new bicycle boulevard that we're going to be adding to these three. So it really kind of completes this network over on the west side. And what this is Pima Community College West over here. So it's a direct connection from the loop to PCC West.
Oh, that's terrific.
That intersects with this Menlo Park Bicycle Boulevard that was in Prop 47. So this actually wasn't in the Bicycle Boulevard Master Plan, but it's something that came up during our Move Tucson planning process, which is our overall long-range transportation plan. We had some neighbors who came to us. They said, hey, I use this route. It's really great. There's a couple of issues, though. I can't get across Silverbell. And it'd be really great if we had some traffic calming, some wayfinding. So we added it into the plan that it moved Tucson. We didn't have a way to fund it until Prop 411 came along. And the Complete Streets Coordinating Council saw the merit in this project. And did as well. So the folks that would have been involved.
Do you have to acquire additional right-of-way along that strip? Put that in?
No. You mean where the Pima Community College is?
The new Ontario, the boat bike boulevard.
No, this will be using existing streets.
Existing street width.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Well, with one exception, which is kind of neat. So there is, right on the other side of Silverbell, and you can't see it at this map, but basically what happens is there's a drainage structure and the street network doesn't connect. So we're proposing building about a 150 or 200 foot long 12 foot concrete shared use path with lighting to connect. We have a bike hop here, which is a push button crossing here at Silverbelt.
Yeah.
And so that connection is also being funded through ARPA. So it's another place where we're finding other funding sources to supplement. And then it will connect then to that path and then connect to Ontario, which is this east-west street that runs through part of Hollywood.
Wait, what's the timeline? Is that phase three, you think?
No, that's phase two. We're jumping on this as an opportunity, and it's going to be designed in coordination with these other three bike boulevards and constructed all at the same time for cost savings. All right, this is my last one. This is the Palo Verde Camino Miramonte bike boulevard, which I know Dr. Spark has been interested in and has raised it in a couple of meetings. We're finally ready to get started. A couple of years ago, there was a student project at the U of A,
yes,
architecture school, that looked at a couple of ideas. And I think what we found through that process and through talking to some of the neighborhoods was there's an interest in exploring some alternatives. So that was a promise that we made back a couple of years ago. And we're going to follow through on that project or on that promise. So we are working with Tool Design Group, which is a national expert on bicycle and pedestrian facility design, to finalize the scope of work for that alignment alternatives study, which is the first step. And this is just a map that city staff, a gentleman who's no longer with us, created this to kind of just look at what the different options were, and we kind of use this as a starting point for a discussion with our consultant. But this could all change. We'll see how it fits. This is where it fits.
Oh, what's the timeline on that? He's doing the scope of work.
Yeah, I think we're getting really close to getting that approved. And so if we can get that approved within the next couple of weeks, which is, I think, realistic, I think they could start work next month. And there will be a public engagement process with that where we go to the neighborhoods.
Okay,
we need to do a little bit of technical analysis before we get to the neighborhoods, so we kind of have a sense about traffic volumes, speeds, route directness, maybe, you know, all the different trade-offs associated.
Yeah, because crossing Fifth Street, there's a traffic column project, the transportation pass, Fifth Street.
Yeah.
So as far as crossing Miramonte to the south, should be coordinated with the traffic column.
Absolutely. Yep. And so Ryan is working on that Fifth Street walkability project.
Yeah.
And we've been working closely to think about which cross locations might be most appropriate. And so I'm encouraged by that. But that bigger project has the opportunity to pay for at least one of the crosses.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
Your project on 36th Street and there's Campbell Avenue.
Yes.
There's two floor areas, one in between Campbell and Keno.
Yep.
And there's another one going south on Cameron by Southside too.
Yep.
You know where it is?
That one's east west.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's working on that floor area?
Yeah.
And will it be touched? There's a lot of questions about that.
Yeah. So I will share with you that there is a larger Western Hills, and you're familiar with this, and you know about what some of the things that are going on with Western Hills. Roadway projects where we're actually going in and reconstructing most of those roads. South Campbell is one of those that's included. And so as part of that, we are going to be looking at the grades and trying to see how we can change the slope of the street in order to mitigate some of the flooding issues. Because the pedestrian safety project, it's not really within the scope of that work to, you know, certainly we won't make the flooding worse. In some cases, unfortunately, that means we're not going to be able to install raised curbs as part of the sidewalks because we need to make sure that water flows through. It, particularly, you're talking about just west of Campbell that crosses 36th Street. But there's just not funding available. So the good news is the road reconstruction is the best opportunity to help mitigate some of those flooding issues. We don't have, unfortunately, the kind of funding to go in and build a big, you know, drainage structure underground. But regrading the street should help.
about Pima County Flood District funding.
Yeah.
Explored that.
So we have explored not specifically the one on 36th Street, but the one south, Southside Community, yeah, South
Campbell's the one that's really big.
We are talking and coordinating with them, and they have a big stormwater infrastructure project that they're doing along Sun Vista, which is kind of right there where that flooding area is. So they're aware of the issue, and they're trying to mitigate it as well.
So you can follow up with that next meeting?
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I can get the
status of that project. Any additional questions? Great, good. Good report, both Brian and Colin.
Okay. Hey, Dr. Spark, I do have one question. It's not directly related to either of those presentations, so we can wait until a future meeting. But I live in Armory Park and took a survey about Armory Park and how, you know, improvements that we might like to see in the neighborhood. Is there, do you have any idea when those results will be shared?
So those results will probably be shared within the next couple of weeks here. We just had a meeting this morning with the board office and the Children's Museum going through the survey results.
Oh, great. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So the first item is for awareness for the commission here of some changes to project funding. So previously, we let you all know that Lucky Mariana Park, we have opted to use a construction manager at risk process for that. And that means we can kind of help control those costs as we're progressing through design, so we know exactly kind of where costs are landing. And what we were originally intending was to also augment that budget, that bond budget, with $1.8 million from the federal grant ARPA American Rescue Plan Act. We have since found out that going with this construction manager at risk process is not eligible for using ARPA funds. So what instead we are doing is Barrio Nepal Park has almost $1.8 million in bond allocation. Barrio Nepal Park will also be a construction project that is ARPA eligible, so we will swap out the bond allocation for Barrio Nepal for the ARPA allocation from La Marietta. The both projects still have that same funding. That's for your awareness. Further questions on that?
Yes. Why is the eligibility criteria so different? It's very puzzling.
So ARPA is a federal funding source, and because of that, it requires a competitive bid process that the the construction management members is not considered.
I understand.
Yeah.
Any other questions or commission? Okay, we'll need to do a motion. Somebody make a motion on this variance that we're approving.
I move that we switch the monies for the appropriate construction of both parks.
Okay, thank you.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
John Anderson.
Approve.
Thank you. Ryan Anderson.
Yep.
Thank
yes.
you. Willie Blake?
Yes.
Thank you. Frank Flash?
Frank
Flash, you're muted.
I'm now unmuted, and yes.
Thank you. Nicole Fife?
Yes.
Thank you. Kathy Critchford?
Yes.
Thank you. Krista Romero Cardenas?
Yes.
Thank you. And Dr. Sparks?
Approve.
Thank you. We do have a unanimous approval.
Thank you. Yes. Our next is pool filter projects.
So we have two pool filter filtration system replacements for phase three that we'd like to move ahead based off of recommendations from TJ, who is with us, our aquatics program manager. over at Kennedy and Ori pools that need to, they're quite old. The Kennedy filter was last replaced in 1985 and the Ori filter was last replaced in 1988. So because you know, we have funds available and these pool filters are expected to work, anticipated to go out soon, that we'd like to replace those during phase two of the cluster maintenance meeting for phase three.
Okay, it's discussion. I entertain a motion.
Move that we move the funding sooner than later on phase three for these pool filters to get installed.
Second, please.
A second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Okay. John Anderson?
Approve.
Thank you. Brian Anderson?
Approve.
Thank you. Willie Blake?
Approve.
Thank you. Frank Flash?
Approve.
Thank you. Nicole Fife?
Approve.
Thank you. Kathy Kretschmer?
Approve.
Thank you. Krista Romero Cardenas?
Approve.
Thank you. And Dr. Sparks?
Yes.
Okay, we do have a unanimous approval.
Okay. Wrapping things up, very efficient, very good discussion tonight. I note that there are proposed and tentative future meetings. The next one is October the 9th. Next one is 2024. That's right. Are there any items that you wish to put on for a future? We've had such a robust discussion on a number of items, I think, for the agenda for October meeting. Okay. Are there any announcements the commissioners or staff would like to make at this time? Yes. I would like to say that that I attended the Martin Gunny Barras Memorial Dedication ceremony. It was beautiful. It was very moving. And members of the military, I can't remember the gentleman, who was a personal friend. Council member Fimbres has a lot of Parkinsonism, but he made it. He made a nice little speech there as well. We had members of the community that had been advocates for the park speak out. It was a really glorious. And then to watch the kids run out in a splash pond. So even though it was boiling hot, it was really a memorable. And I was glad to be able to at least participate for the commissioners in that event. And I'm looking forward to other dedications. It sounds like we're really rolling along. I hear no other.
Frank.
Is that me?
Yes.
Okay. I know I'm going to sound redundant in asking this, but I got to ask it again. If I understand it, we've got four bond issues, or we've divided this into four bond issues. And the first one was for $55 million, or roughly split, 57, I guess. And if I understand you correctly, we need to spend 80%, 85% of that in the allocated time that we outlined in the bond issue. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. And if we don't spend it, because we're at 80% right now, and I think it's mission impossible to assume we're going to get five more in the next 3 or 4 weeks. But assuming we don't, I think I understood you to say that you will take the money that's left and put it in a non-interest bearing account so that we won't have any arbitrage, meaning that we get to keep that money.
Correct. So full disclosure, we do have a question out to bond counsel on, since the pandemic was an unseen thing, usually you would have to spend all of that money by the 3-year time frame. Or what happens with bond funding is the remaining balance is then required to be used for your next debt service payment. So as you know, when you issue bonds, you get cash up front, then you have like a obligation for many, many years. This one, I think, is a 30-year obligation that you're making principal. The city then is making principal and interest payments over the term of this debt funding that we have. If you don't use the money as intended within a time frame set by the bond issuance, then your remaining balance in there is supposed to then roll into your next debt payment, basically. So we do have a question out on what happens with that. Do we, our bond council is looking at what is our commitment there? So that is being managed. It's being overseen by our finance and treasury department. That's outside of the 85% spend. So you have benchmarks that also have to be met. I think the first benchmark is within the first 3 months, you have to spend X dollar amount. And then by the 3-year mark, you have to be spent up to the 85%. And if you earned interest at that point in time that is over the bond yield percentage, then that's where you bump into the arbitrage. So that's where it's also being monitored for that percentage spend against bond yield percentage against interest earned. So yes, there's a strategy in place for the bond yield piece. And then there's also a strategy in place for the complete spend piece. By the time we meet again, I'll be, and as soon as those criteria are met and our strategy comes up, I will email the complete commission because it will be in between our meetings.
That's good. Because probably Frank's the only commissioner who understands what you say.
I'm sorry.
So the simple answer is you've got two strategies going at the same time, and we get to keep the money, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Got it.
Oh, you're a real blessing, Frank. Okay.
I have to make a motion there. We adjourn.
Second, please. Second. Okay. I don't think we need to vote over that. Thank you all for coming tonight and participating. Okay.
It's good to see everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Miss American Pie.
Adios. Gracias, Leticia. Ciao.
Adios.